from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Good afternoon, Atlanta. It is the Abe TL Show. Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios for the next 3 hours, and we are going to bounce all over the place, as we normally tend to do here on the weekends, but certainly got some Braves, certainly got a little bit of Falcons as well. Got you covered with Georgia Tech and what took place yesterday as well. I know we got a couple of members of Seminole Nation here on our on-air staff. But with respect to Sandra and Mike Bell, and even including them, I don't think that many people here at 92.9 The Game are surprised. In fact, I think quite a lot of people at 92.9 The Game, you know, were celebrating for various reasons yesterday based on that result. We'll get into it as we get throughout the show, but we got a lot of things to start out with. I want to get some Braves news in here before we move on. We got a guest coming up at 2:20. My buddy Tom Krasnicki. He's a radio host in Tampa Bay there on WDAE. And, you know, I've been following T-Kraz. He's a good buddy of mine. I've known him for almost two decades now. And I want to bring the mindset of Tampa Bay here to Atlanta. I want people to be aware of the thoughts and feelings of Buccaneers fans, because while we think the NFC South is a foregone conclusion, not only do they not think it's a foregone conclusion, they think things would have to spin in the right direction for the Falcons to win it. And I kind of want to get into it with Tom and really figure out why the mindsets are so different, because I just don't see it. I don't see how Tampa got significantly better, and I don't know what they're counting on to do more than what they were at 9-7 a year ago. So we'll talk with T-Kraz in a little bit. We'll also talk with Elijah Pierce at 4:20. He is a professional boxer, 19-2 record. He's going to be headlining and main eventing the OTX card this coming Friday at OTE Arena in Atlantic Station. So I have seen a couple of his fights there at OTX. And so we'll get an opportunity to chat with him. I know he works and trains here in Atlanta. So we'll chop it up with him and talk a little bit about what's going on there Friday night in the back half of the show. All right, so the Braves game is towards the back third here, as they started early today, noon, on Roku. And as E asked me earlier in the break, yes, I do have Roku. I bought a smart TV that was a Roku smart TV, and I guess I get a free, I don't know if subscription's the right term, but I can access the Roku things. And so I was able to watch and am now still watching the Atlanta Braves thus far. Braves looking for a sweep here into today's game, and it kind of seems a little bit less likely now than it did about 25 minutes ago. Matt Olson had hit a game-tying home run to make it 1-1. Ronaldo Lopez pitched six innings, giving up one run, so another great outing from him. But a couple of hiccups there at second base from Whit Merrifield. Really a horrendous missed third strike call by the home plate umpire, followed by bouncing the next pitch and allowing the run score on a wild pitch. So the Braves are now down 4-1 at this point. So a little bit tougher to come back. It was just a couple of minutes ago that Matt Olson tied it up, but it is no longer in that state. Some also troubling news for those who maybe haven't had a chance to watch the game today on Roku. Michael Harris was hit in the hand in the first inning. Now, he did stay in the game at the moment, but he has since left the game. Jared Kelnick came on to replace him in the fifth inning. They're calling it precautionary, which, as we've seen in recent weeks, means they're going to give him the full workup with the MRIs and the X-rays and all that stuff and see what's going on. And certainly another moment for Braves fans to hold their breaths in regards to the injury bug coming up, and certainly for Michael Harris, who just got back here with the ball club, a little bit of a tough luck bump there. So we'll see. I'd like to say that I'm optimistic in regards to, you know, he stayed in the game. He didn't immediately have to come out, and so that makes me feel a little bit better, but certainly we've seen underlying issues that do pop up, so we'll keep an eye on that. But we are now in the seventh inning, and it is 4-1 Nationals. So there you go. Atlanta Falcons were non-competitive in their final preseason game. They faced the starters of the Jaguars there. And look, it's on to week one for the Falcons. It's not surprising. Still a little bit jarring to watch them just be manhandled like that, 31-0. Again, I don't know what I expected. Certainly not like to win or compete, but like you're dominated all night long. That's tough. Tough go for Taylor Heinicke. He had to face the Jaguars starters. And obviously, he's trying to build a case for other teams to become interested in him, or if nothing else, to stay as a member of the Atlanta Falcons. Roster cuts are coming up. The deadline is Tuesday, so going to be very interesting to see, as we mentioned with Taylor Heinicke, the plan for quarterback three, but also which receivers make the cut, which DBs make the cut. Is there a notable defensive lineman that doesn't stick on? And the running back battle, I think, is very interesting as well. The Atlanta Dream head to State Farm Arena tomorrow night. They're going to be hosting Caitlin Clark in the Indiana Fever. Going to be a huge celebration of basketball. They're trying to set a new attendance record for WNBA games in the state of Georgia. They're also going to be honoring the 96 Women's Olympic basketball gold medal team. I believe Dawn Staley, among others, are going to be in attendance for that one. So a huge, huge game Monday night for the Atlanta Dream as Caitlin Clark rolls into town. Late last night, the Atlanta United fell to the LA Galaxy 2-0. Marco Reus, newest member of the LA Galaxy, straight out of Germany, had a goal and an assist in that one. Again, it is the Abe TL Show. We're going to be chatting more Falcons as my buddy Tom Krasnicki joins me in the next segment. And, you know, a lot of times I bring guys on or have guys on for an interview. This is going to work a little bit different in our next segment. I don't necessarily want an interview with me and Tom Krasnicki. It's going to be more of a platform. It's going to be more of an open discussion because I am genuinely interested in why the mindset of Bucks fans is what it is, and Bucks media for that matter. And I want to open the floor to him to allow some questions on my end, you know, in regards to how we view the Falcons and the Falcons offseason as well. So we'll see how that goes. If I have to turn it into an interview, you know, I will. I have questions, but I would like more of an open platform. So we'll see if that's how it plays out. There's kind of a general discussion. That obviously would be easier if he were here in studio with me, which is what Elijah Pierce is going to be later at 4:20. The professional boxer we talked about, he will be joining me in studio here in the Kia studio. So excited to meet him in person after seeing a couple of his fights. Georgia Tech. We're going to get more into this at 3 o'clock. I have some thoughts on Georgia Tech. I have some thoughts on Florida State. And also in the 3 o'clock hour, we have some thoughts on some other college football teams and games that maybe what we saw yesterday, I'll have a couple of similar questions about. Let's just tease it and put it that way. But Georgia Tech beats Florida State 24-21, a last-second 44-yard field goal. And for Georgia Tech, it showcased a couple of interesting things. Some of this is going to be in part due to Florida State's issues. Some of it is going to be in part due to the come up of the Yellow Jackets. And it's a little bit of both. But just on the surface, forget having watched the game, which I did. But if you just looked at the box score, and that's why I think numbers sometimes can be misleading. If you just looked at the box score and you see that Florida State had 98 rushing yards, knowing that that's supposed to be the strength of their offense, knowing that that's supposed to be the weakness of the Georgia Tech defense, that's a discussion that would lead me to believe big things are possible at Bobby Dodd Stadium this year. And big things are. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say they're not. But one of the questions I had about Georgia Tech coming in is I thought they could get up and beat Florida State. And they did. And that's fine. Here's the thing about the Yellow Jackets. And we're going to talk more about this, like I said, at 3 o'clock. You got to repeat that effort now. You got to find consistency to look dangerous. Because we saw last year. We saw last year this is a team that could jump up and bite you. And they did last year. And they did yesterday. But we've also seen this is a team that can shrink to the level of their opponents or below that and lose to teams they had no business losing to. How much different is this year's team? I'm asking the question, but with another season under Brent Key, I do think the answer is quite a bit different. But how much different? Tough to tell after just one game. You're not really going to learn a ton against Georgia State unless Tech messes around and finds out. But if they handle business as they should, there'll still be some questions about Georgia Tech. And so we'll build that up through the season, right? You've got opportunities. You look at their schedule. There are going to be opportunities. We know about the Georgia game end of the year. But they got Notre Dame at home as well and a couple other squads in the ACC that could be a little bit troublesome. So very excited about what Georgia Tech did yesterday, but still left with some questions. Not as many questions I have about Florida State, though. And again, we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. In regards to Florida State, as I mentioned, some of the other college football discussion I want to have is other teams that I have questions about. And look, I was pretty open that I did not buy Florida State as a top 10 team. I think there were questions about who they how they replace some of their playmakers on offense, and also certainly the questions about the quarterback. And so it wasn't that they are like factually not a top 10 team. It was more that I won't buy it until I see it. Well, I got a couple of other teams throughout college football that I would put in that category where I won't buy it until I see it. So we'll talk about that in the 3 o'clock hour as well. We'll certainly go outside the perimeter. Got some interesting stories out nationally. We'll also, I don't know if anyone else is involved, but the Little League World Series has really captured my attention. It always does, like every year. But, you know, going into Williamsport, I was pretty informed on how good this Florida team might be. They come from behind and beat Texas yesterday. They're taking on a Chinese Taipei team that I had also been informed on. And so the pre-tournament favorites out of the international bracket, out of the U.S. bracket, are the teams still standing. We'll see how that game goes, but excited to watch that one. I think it starts at either 3 or 3:30. Don't remember off the top of my head which one that is. All right, when we come back, we are going to be joined by Tom Krasniqi, WDAE in Tampa Bay. Looking forward to this one. Should be an interesting discussion. Why the Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan base doesn't believe that it's the Falcons' division to win. Let's get into it with T. Kraz on the other side. It is Abe Gordon here live, the Abe TL Show on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back into the ATL show. Live in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Got some preseason NFL action going on with the Tennessee Titans taking on the New Orleans Saints. No Derek Carr, no Taysom Hill in this one. The Titans got an early 7-0 lead, and now we can all enjoy Jake Haener taking over for the Saints offense. So that's something. It's on. Like I said, I got the Atlanta Braves game on. We'll certainly... watching that one, and then waiting for the Little League World Series to come on as well, because that, for me, you know how I watch the weird stuff, but for me, that's something I enjoy watching all the same. So there you go. Going to be joined by Tom Krasnicki in just a couple of moments, trying to hook up with him, connect with him on the phone in any second. So we'll get into it with him. I will say this about the Atlanta Falcons and what happened on Friday night, because you got beat 31-0. And I've seen some reaction to, some fans' reaction about, all this level of displeasure and stuff like that. To me, it's more about the expectation of that third preseason game. I mean, we knew the Jaguars were going to start their gang, their first team. And, yeah, Trevor Lawrence looked good doing so. And Mac Jones looked okay as well, if we're going to be honest. I don't know what you expected from the Falcons. I really don't. Like, it's obviously still a little jarring just to see the team get mollywopped that bad. But, like, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't change my expectations. Like, certainly I am one who will be emotional because of big wins or because of bad losses. I'm not going to be emotional after a 31-0 defeat in the preseason in which we haven't played any of our starters. Like, if I'm coming to you on the radio with a bit of rage, it's going to be real rage. I'm not going to fake outrage myself after the third preseason game. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm just not here to criticize the team based on that. Now, maybe I'll criticize their decision not to play any starters, but the performance of the backups and third string and guys who are going to get cut by Tuesday afternoon, yeah, doesn't really bother me that much. All right, we have connected with T-Kraz, Tom Krasniqi. He joins us now on the WadeFord.com hotline. And, Tom, first off, good afternoon. Happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday, Abe. What's going on up there?
All right, so I don't want this to be a general interview. I want this to be a little bit more of an open platform discussion, but I have to start it out by asking some sort of a question, and then we can just kind of go back and forth. But it's been really interesting to see the reaction in Tampa over the past 2 weeks or so since, and you were on top of it already, with your comments before the Falcons added Matt Judon. You said keep an eye on it. This is a team that's going to make a move, and they did. They also added Justin Simmons after that. But the reaction since then has been surprising to me in Tampa, because here in Atlanta, Tom, we look at this as the NFC South being the Falcons' division at this point. And I know that isn't the case in Tampa. And you guys down there kind of see the Judon and Simmons addition and really the whole offseason as just the Falcons catching up, but that there's still not much difference and potentially the Bucs are still ahead of the Falcons. What is the mindset down there? Because I can't comprehend or see it that way.
I think Buccaneer fans are optimistic, but also, you know, during my show when the Judon thing went down and then the next day they got Justin Simmons, I was trying to explain to the Bucs fan base, like, wait a second, you guys need to be more aware of your surroundings. The Falcons are a legit team. And in my opinion, I think the Bucs and the Falcons are neck and neck. And if you wanted to make an argument that the Falcons are slightly in front of the Buccaneers, I don't think I would necessarily disagree with that. But right now I have them in a dead heat. And whichever team, Abe, in my opinion, avoids the serious injury, and the Bucs are dangerously thin at a couple of spots, I think that's the team that ends up winning the NFC South. So I think the Bucs fan base is optimistic. Me, I think it's going to be a great race. I think both teams right now are neck and neck.
You know, which is funny, because I maybe would have made the argument that they were neck and neck after the Cousins addition. But the Judon and Simmons thing to me is a serious separator. And when I look at Tampa, just from my perspective, I look at a team that is trying to run it back and lost a couple of things. Now, with that said, I know Jalen McMillan looks like a really nice piece. And I'm very excited to see. Well, I'm not excited because obviously he could cause some issues for the Falcons. But, you know, he is going to be fun to watch down there behind Evans and Godwin. But, like, I look at it as you're running it back with Baker Mayfield. You lost the offensive coordinator, which who knows what the impact of losing Dave Canales is going to be. Still some questions along the offensive line and maybe a step back in the linebacking core. It just feels like the Bucs are running back a 9-17 that beat the Saints on a tiebreaker in the division.
And look, it's a fair point, and here's how I looked at it, and here's how I've explained it, like, on the air during my show. I think the Bucs are improved from a year ago. I think Graham Barton is legit. I've watched him all summer. He's smart. He's tenacious. He's physical. That sort of physicality is something that the Buccaneers lacked in the interior of their old line from a year ago. And look, a lot of people want to give praise to Dave Canales, and he deserves it. But there were times last year as a first-time play caller in the NFL where he was quite predictable, and opponents of the Buccaneers even came out and said so, like they knew exactly what they were going to do and when they were going to do it. I kind of like what I see out of Liam Cohen. The defensive players have been raving in practice, saying, look, they'll run different plays out of 15 to 20 different formations. So It's something that is more unpredictable. It is something that is more detailed. They're going to use a lot of bunch formations and pre-snap motions, something that you didn't see last year. So I think the Buccaneer offense will be fine. I think they're improved up front. With all that being said, bringing Jordan Whitehead back on the back end, I think, was also a big move. I think the Bucs are improved, but it's very possible that they stayed the same, if that makes any difference, between 8 and 9 wins. I think if things fall right, they could win 10 games. But I think they're the same in terms of the record because the division is better and their schedule, certainly in the meat of the schedule, is a little more difficult.
That is Tom Krasnicki, afternoon host in WDAE in Tampa. A guy that I've known, I mean, my goodness, Tom, it's coming up on 2 decades now, early 2007. So it has been a long, long time, buddy. And obviously, I've been down there covering the Bucs a little bit, certainly now up here covering my hometown team, the Atlanta Falcons. And yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just, for me, the way I looked at it, the Judon and Simmons thing puts the Falcons in a serious separator. And while you down in Tampa may be looking at the Bucs and Falcons as equals, and look, obviously it has to make itself known on the field. There's no denying that. You don't win the title on paper. But most of us here have put the Falcons into the echelon of Packers, Eagles, Lions, Cowboys, not quite where the Niners are, but kind of in that discussion, if things go right, of the next group. And it feels like in some other cities, the Falcons are not being placed in that tier.
I think in the annals of the NFC, I think the Lions are better than the 49ers. And maybe that's just a hot take on my part, but I just think they have a more well-rounded team. I love what they did in the offseason. San Francisco's got some concerns for me, but I have Lions and 49ers, and then in that next tier belong the teams like, I think the Packers are up and coming. I think the Lions are, not the Lions, I think the Eagles are a very talented team. I think the coaching staff there is the one that gives me a little bit of a pause. And then I think Bucks and Falcons are certainly in that category, maybe is slightly below it. But for me, the Falcons have to prove themselves from the standpoint of a 36-year-old quarterback in Kirk Cousins coming off a torn Achilles. So that's a pretty big deal. And if he comes back and he shows that he acclimates himself to his new surroundings and his new teammates, then certainly the Falcons would have the edge. But I kind of like where the Bucs are at right now. I think it's going to be a great race between these two teams. I wouldn't say the Falcons have separated themselves from the pack. I don't believe that is accurate at this point. But certainly with their improvements on a defensive side in the last week, they've certainly put themselves in the conversation.
It is Tom Krasnicki, WDAE host in Tampa Bay. One of the other questions I would have about Tampa, Tom, is Baker Mayfield. I've been a huge supporter of Baker Mayfield. Obviously, he was up there in Cleveland. I was up there in Cleveland. And so I followed him, and I think he did get the short end of the stick a little bit. But now he did something in Tampa last year, and I start to wonder how repeatable it is. I know you mentioned Liam Cohen, but the wild card of no Dave Canales makes it very interesting, because if the Bucs are going to compete with the Falcons and work their way into the playoffs, Baker cannot take a step back either. And I do wonder if the offense can hum again without Canales.
I think Dave Canales, and I like Dave a lot, and I'm very happy for his rapid ascension. I think his strength is more of a CEO, more of a leader. That's why he got the head coaching job, and obviously he and Dan Morgan are close friends. You know how that goes. Connections, whether it's in football or life in general, it's not what you know, it's who you know. I think that can provide, you know, a really good boost to your career and to your resume, and I wish him the best of luck. I think as a play caller, there were some things that left to be desired. And I think Liam Cohen steps into a pretty good situation with a pretty good group of characters. And what Todd Bowles really wants out of this offense is more balance. And if you go back and look at the games that the Buccaneers won from a year ago, their run-to-pass ratio was exactly 50-50. They don't want Baker throwing it 40 times. They want a nice, healthy blend of the run and the pass. And in the games that the Bucs won, at least most of them, It was practically right down the middle, 50-50. I think that's where Todd Bowles wants to live. And look, I agree with you in terms of Baker. I didn't have high expectations, and he proved me wrong. He proved a lot of people wrong. And the thing that he has not done in his career, Abe, to this point, and I'm very anxious to see if he does it, he's never put together two good years in a row. So that's certainly a big question, and it's a fair point.
Is Kyle Trask corner a QB2? Is that really happening this year?
He is, and only because John Wolford, who was with Liam Cohen with the Rams, is hurt. So it sounds like he's going on injured reserve to start the season, and I think the Buccaneers are going to carry two quarterbacks. So your guy from the University of Florida will be the backup.
Yeah, that's not – I mean, it's not good, man. like that was like watching Desmond Ridder last year, like watching Kyle Trask. That's not good, man. I don't know what else to say. That's not good.
There aren't many teams in the NFL where you can say, well, if our starter goes down, we're in good shape. Maybe the Falcons can make that claim because Michael Penix has looked really good, a product of Tampa Bay. I had a chance to meet him right before the draft. Great kid. And I still kind of disagree with that move, but that's neither here nor there. But if your starter goes down, you're definitely screwed. It doesn't matter who you are.
We've seen some interdivisional trades recently. Can I interest you in a trade for Taylor Heinicke?
I think it's a thanks but no thanks, but I'll keep your number just in case something comes up in the future.
All right, final question here. It's Tom Krasniqi, WDAE in Tampa, good buddy of mine, getting it done in the afternoons down there. When you do look at this Atlanta Falcons team, there's very high expectation for the offense with Kirk Cousins, but coming in to hopefully help Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and obviously Zach Robinson as the offensive coordinator. There's also now high expectations to the defense when you add a Justin Simmons on the back end, when you add a Matt Judon on the front end, and obviously you inked A.J. Terrell to that big deal as well. What would you say is like the weakness right now? If you were a Falcons fan, what would be your biggest concerns heading into the season?
Well, look, Matthew Judon certainly helps them in a lot of different ways. Is he healthy? He's 32. He had the injury last year. The 2 years prior, he had 28 sacks. So the health of Matthew Judon and how much he affects the pass rush is going to be a big question. And really, it's Kirk Cousins, 36 years old, coming off the torn Achilles. How fast can he get up to speed and acclimate himself to his new surroundings, a new offense, new teammates as well? I think really those are the two big concerns, whether the Falcons can get a consistent pass rush, and Matthew Judon's going to be relied upon heavily to do that, and Kirk Cousins, how healthy is he? Because, Abe, one of the things I thought was very curious, and maybe you could educate me on this, is Raheem Morris's decision to say, I think Michael Penix, we're not going to play him anymore this preseason. This is a rookie quarterback who needs the reps, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they're like, okay, I think we've seen enough. We're going to put this guy on the shelf. That I thought was interesting to me. And look, I was talking about this on the show this past week. Does that mean that maybe Kirk Cousins has some soreness? Maybe there's other concerns, they're like health-wise maybe. That's why they wanted to preserve Michael Penix and not risk him in the preseason. But that's for you to tell me.
Look, Tom, I do not agree with the decision to rest or sit or save Michael Penix. I think if you're counting on him, you need him to be ready, and I don't think you maximized his preparation this offseason. And so I don't agree with it. I also just don't buy the nonsense discussion points of maybe Kirk Cousins isn't ready to go. And look, it's obviously I have an advantage of having been at Flowery Branch, and you're down there in Tampa at One Buck Place. I've seen Kirk Cousins. He looks ready to go. Like, I don't have those concerns. Maybe they've done just an amazing job of hiding limitations, but I haven't really seen any at practice, so it's not a concern for me. But now the bigger concern is if something happens, if he does go down, is Penix ready? And I don't think you maximize that. So not the decision I would have made, but Raheem Morris has made it very clear. He is anti-playing starters. He is not taking the risk. And he said it's not just this year. This is something he will do every single year if we're up to him. So he's made his stance clear. He's going to stand behind it and defend it. I would have handled it differently.
And I agree with him in terms of not playing starters in the preseason. That's something that Buccaneer fans got on my case last week. I said, look, there's no way I would play Baker Mayfield or Mike Evans or Chris Godwin or Tristan Wirfs in a meaningless preseason game. It's just not worth the risk. And I thought Todd Bowles made the right decision right before Friday night's game and saying, all right, Mike Evans and Lavonte David are not going to play. We're going to save them. It's a preseason. I thought that was a smart move. And not playing your big-time starters is something that I would never do in a preseason setting. You have joint workouts. That's what training camp practices are for. But Michael Penix is not a starter. He's a rookie, and he certainly needs the rest. So I just thought that was a curious move.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you totally. Tom Krasniqi, the Falcons and Bucks meet up again in week five. I'm sure I'll have you on around that time, and we'll do this again.
I'm eagerly anticipating that game and your phone call, Abe. Good to be with you.
Appreciate it. That's T-Kraz down there in Tampa Bay. Hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We are late for a break, so let's go ahead and get right to it. It's the Abe TL Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game, the Abe TL Show. It's Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios. Watching the Atlanta Braves just about finish this thing here on Roku. They are down 5-1 and down to their final out. And we mentioned it earlier, Michael Harris left the game in the fifth inning. He was hit by a pitch in the first inning. Marcell Ozuna then fouled a ball off his ankle or shin or foot and looked to be pretty badly hobbled, but he stayed in the game as well. Man, it was just, I mean, I sent out a tweet, like, you got to be kidding me. Like enough's enough. But hopefully Marcell Ozuna and Michael Harris are fine. And obviously Ozuna, it's tough to tell because he finished the at-bat, and that's it. We won't see him again as DH until next game, hopefully. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll wait to hear something in regards to Michael Harris. Took him out for precautionary reasons, and then we'll go through it there. In our next segment at 3 o'clock, going to get a little bit deeper dive into Georgia Tech and what they were able to accomplish yesterday at Aviva Stadium in Dublin, Ireland. We will talk about the Braves in the 3 o'clock hour and other college football teams that maybe are in the same boat as Florida State. I'll explain more then. At 4 o'clock, we're going to go outside the perimeter. Got a couple of interesting stories there. 420 here in studio. Elijah Pierce, a.k.a. The Wolf, professional boxer who's headlining the fight card at OTE Arena there, OTX Boxing at Atlantic Station on Friday night. So looking forward to chatting with him. I've seen him fight a couple of times there, all wins in my appearances, but 19-2 overall. But right now, I want to get into some of the other preseason games. And we talked a little bit about the Falcons and the Jaguars. And again, the Jaguars starters did their job. And look, the Falcons backups and third strings and fourth tier guys that are going to be in the UFL. They got embarrassed, and you know, it's frustrating that it had to be at home, I guess. But other than that, I didn't have much expectations. I'm certainly not going to get emotionally charged after a 31-0 drubbing. If anything, maybe mildly disappointed we didn't get to see Younghoe Koo kind of get after it a little bit. I know there were some concerns about him after he missed three field goals in the second preseason game against the Ravens. He looked great in camp all week. He went 6-for-6, I want to say, in the midweek Wednesday scrimmage. And we were hoping maybe we could see that. But other than that, I wasn't really looking for much in the preseason game. There are a couple other games, however, across the NFL that did interest me, and so we'll get to those now. Before we do, just a quick mention. The Braves have now fallen at home 5-1. They totaled three hits in this one, at least one of them here in the ninth inning, if not two of them there in the ninth inning. So tough loss on that one, but you did take the series. You won 2 of 3, and now you regroup and head on to the road, and we'll be talking about the upcoming week for the Braves. It's a big one, maybe the biggest week of the season in some sort of eyes, and I'll get into that later. But the Braves game is now over, which is good because I want to get rid of Roku because they were showing a trailer for Fear Factor, and it was during the interview with T-Crack. I almost threw up. Like, I don't need to see that, man. I'm trying to host the show. Yeah, guys covered in all sorts of nonsense. I'm probably good on the new editions of Fear Factor. All right, the NFL preseason. Again, we didn't take much away from the Falcons, but I will say this. When it came to the Steelers and the Lions, we're talking about a quarterback competition, I guess. We were told it was a quarterback competition, but I'm pretty sure at this point it wasn't. Russell Wilson, Justin Fields both delivered touchdown drives. Mike Tomlin says a decision is going to come at the end of this week. I think they had originally said Monday of next week, but now they say by the end of this week. Look, it's going to be Russell Wilson. Like, I don't really see a way it's not Russell Wilson based on how Mike Tomlin has treated the preseason. I mean, Russell Wilson misses practice for a couple days with injuries, and Justin Fields takes all the first-team snaps, and he lights it up. He has something like 30 touchdowns and one interception. And despite all that, when the first depth chart comes out, Russell Wilson's QB1, and he gets the start in the preseason game. He continues to be QB1. And, they both did okay yesterday. Neither of them was astonishingly brilliant, but neither of them, I would say, lost the competition or made it an easy decision. But I would say it is an easy decision because Mike Tomlin never opened this thing up. I don't care what he said. I don't see any proof that they ever were going to give Justin Fields a fair shot to win this job. And despite the injury to Russell Wilson to start camp, I don't think it mattered. And so they can hold their announcement until next Monday or Friday of this week. It's going to be Russell Wilson. You talk about what would really shock me in the NFL. Like, it would really shock me if Mike Tomlin comes out and says Justin Fields is QB1. It really would. And I don't get surprised or shocked very often. I think I'm generally pretty open to what possibilities there are out there. And we'll talk about it in a couple of minutes. Like, I wasn't shocked that Georgia Tech beat Florida State yesterday. If you listen to 92.9 at all over the course of this past week, I don't think you would be shocked. I think almost every show came in and said Georgia Tech's going to have an opportunity in this game. I wasn't shocked. I would be shocked if Russell Wilson is not named the Steelers starter. So we'll have to wait and see, but that's how it goes. I've also got some concern in AFC North, I guess we're sticking with it, but Deshaun Watson doesn't play in the Browns' final preseason game. He had some arm fatigue or shoulder issue in practice. You just have to wonder about him. I mean, forget like even how good he can be or what potential he has and the contract and all that. I don't even know if he's going to start week one. Like, I don't even know if he's ready. And at that point, you're working Jameis Winston in there, which we're all in favor of. Who doesn't want to see Jameis get it done? But I don't know what's going on with Deshaun Watson. Obviously, his season ended early, and it's been a rough go shoulder-wise in the offseason. And I don't know. I don't know how close he is. I don't know if he's going to make it through the season. What's going on with that shoulder? Bryce Young actually does start. I know they had said previously the starters were not going to play, and they hadn't in previous games. But he goes 6-8, throws a touchdown. It's a good look for him in his preseason action. And so we'll see what they can accomplish this year. The expectations are still low as a team, but maybe for him they can grow a little bit. Raiders and 49ers had that awkward Hail Mary turned into a weird hook and lateral situation. That game ends in a tie, 24-24. I don't know. I mean, I guess you're dealing with, like, third and fourth teamers, but, like, I don't want people messing around out there. Like, just get off the field healthy. Who cares if you win or lose? Just get down. Just get down. Stetson does not play in the Rams' final preseason game. Sean McVay did confirm he is going to be the backup to Matt Stafford these first 2 weeks. Jimmy Garoppolo is suspended. Garoppolo hasn't looked great anyway, so we'll see if Stetson can somehow hold on to that job. Trey Lance throws 5 interceptions. Only the second quarterback in the last 30 years to do that. He threw 5 interceptions in a preseason game. Glenn Foley of the Seahawks threw 6 picks back in 2000 in the preseason. And today the Patriots and the Commanders are going to play. Jaden Daniels is going to sit this one out as he's been named QB1. But Jacoby Brissett and Drake May, that quarterback competition will continue. All right, when we come back, we're going to stick with football, but we're going to move to the collegiate ranks. Georgia Tech opens the season with a big Week 0 win. Let's get going on that. Questions I have about Georgia Tech, compliments I want to hand out as well, and some real big concerns down there in Seminole Nation with what's going on at Florida State. Lot to come in the 3 o'clock hour. It is Abe Gordon live from the Kia Studios, the Abe TL Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.